What do you get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM?
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream soundbites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Wellgate Sports Club has dedicated themselves to creating an environment that supports your personal goals, whatever they may be. That's because Wellgate Sports Club is more than just a gym. Wellgate is Reading's first premier sports club with the staff, programs, and 23,000 square foot facility designed to give you an exceptional experience every day. Now it's never been easier to take advantage of incredible amenities, including Reading's only indoor saltwater pool, outdoor jacuzzi, sauna, luxury towel service, and over 130 exercise classes designed from beginners to experts. For a limited time, you can become a member of Wellgate Sports Club with no enrollment fee. That's a $99 value. In addition, Wellgate Sports Club will provide you with 3 personal training sessions and a nutrition consultation absolutely free. That's another $225 value. There's never been a better time or a better place to get started. Call 768-1205 today for your personal tour. Or stop by 1740 Eureka Way and don't forget to visit online at WellgateSportsClub.com. Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Mews with Northern Lights Energy. The ethanol-free 93 is ready for the lawnmowers and weed eaters and chainsaw folks, so come by and try it out. Cody says bring those barbecue bottles in and get them filled up, or we have the exchange program. We have another load of Clear Pearl come in for all the portable heaters and the red kerosene for the others. Our Toyo Tommy heaters and on-demand hot water heaters are being installed all the time by Johnny, so give him a call. Northern Lights Energy, for deliveries to homes, job site, and ranches. If you need it, we bring it, including bulk oil deliveries. In Corning, stop and see Robin. In Weaverville, get a hold of Joe. In Reading, the rest of the crew. Northern Lights Energy, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Much as I have that same independent streak when it comes to politics and the way the country is run and the way our food sources have developed or not, depending on your point of view, I noticed that you were thinking about, or there were some people who thought you ought to run for president. And you've been asked in a number of interviews some questions that would be asked of someone who is a presidential contender. And I wonder how you view all of that. Shouldn't we have a party that maybe we could call it the food party, or the real food party?
Yeah, that would be funny. That would be great. Yes, there have been numerous requests for me to run for president, but that doesn't.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red. They call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I feel you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
As to what the top five or six things were that were on people's minds on my Facebook page, and the dysfunction of government came in as number one.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460, your favorite talk radio station. On Monday, we welcome and enjoy the magazine, the store, the empire. Find out what's going on in Northern California this month via Enjoy the Magazine and much more. What's happening with politics, local, regional, and national. All here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
A lot of noise.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, I would like to invite you to listen up, your area's newest talk radio show. 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, some education, and it will be done with no manipulation. We don't sell things. We're not trying to hustle any money out of you. We're not asking you to join up, to fess up, to give up, nothing like that. This show is simply about giving you accurate information. Information that is designed to help you verify and hopefully identify the plan of God for your life. And if you can do that, then you have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust to the plan. That's up to you. But no ranting and no raving, no crazy carrying on here. Just me talking to you. Just this monologue of me talking to you. And if you'll stick with me as we begin to develop these radio shows, I hope we'll be here for a long time. Not just the few weeks, the 5 weeks we've been here at this time, but much more. And if you'll stick with me, you're going to learn some things. We call our show the Flotline, F-L-O-T, Flot, and that stands for the Forward Line of Troops. It's a military analogy. And what we're doing is using a military analogy to describe how the Christian life works. The Flotline is a main line of resistance that the military establishes whenever they go into a foreign battle arena. What I'm going to try to show you, it's how you can establish a main line of resistance in your soul that can stop the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside sources of stress. With the concept that adversity is inevitable and stress is optional, you can learn to use God's resources, 10 unique problem-solving devices. These are nothing new. This is not some new discovery. This is not something we're trying to sell you on. These are age-old biblical doctrines that have always been there since the canon of Scripture was formulated and put into print. I may say it in a way you've never heard it said before, and I hope that's the case, so that you'll be able to understand it like you've never understood it before. But if, in fact, you are a Christian, if, in fact, you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the opportunity to live the most unbelievable life the world has ever known. It's called the Christian life. It's a life with no more worry. It's a life where you never have to be afraid. It's a life where you have complete happiness and also complete understanding of what's coming down the pipe. When you have divine viewpoint, when you understand life from God's perspective, then you never have to be bitter. You never have to be angry. You never have to be lonely. You never have to have any of these things. If you live the Christian life, it is a supernatural life, and it requires a supernatural power. You cannot live the Christian life under your own power, under your own dynamics. You must use the power of God. And you have been given two things. You have been given God the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, said that he would send once he left. And you have been given a canon of Scripture, a Bible, the Word of God, and it's said to be alive and powerful, sharper than even a two-edged sword. And so here you have your divine resources. You have God the Holy Spirit, and you have the Bible. When you take these two divine resources and learn them, then you can understand what Jesus told the woman in Luke 11:37-38, when he said, happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it. Who hear my Father's word and keep it. These 10 unique problem-solving devices start out with problem-solving device number one, and that's the Rebound problem-solving device. Rebound is simply another word for how you regain fellowship with God once you break fellowship with God. You see, when you sin, you don't lose your salvation. If that's so, you'd have to be saved about 9 million times. Because if you got up at 8:05 and went to work and sinned before you got there, and now you're lost again, then you'd have to get saved again. You see, that's crazy. So Jesus Christ said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish, and neither shall any man ever pluck them out of my Father's hand. So it's not something that God's going to take away from you when you committed a sin, or when someone decided that that particular sin was worse than any of the other sins that you've done. What sin does is it breaks fellowship with God. And we are mandated in the Bible not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30. We're told not to quench the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to us. It's the empowerment that Jesus Christ gave us. It's what allows us to see things from the divine perspective, and the one who gives us the ability to live the unique Christian life. You can shut off his power. You can quench him, just like taking a garden hose and bending it in the middle so the water doesn't come out. Sin does that to the Holy Spirit. And when you do not deal with the sin, then you may be doing all the right things, like going to church, but you may be doing it in all the wrong ways, like in the energy of the flesh. You see, a person that is a Christian can get sin into their life and not deal with it, and yet still go to church, still sing in the choir, still do whatever. Looks like he's doing the right things, smells like he's doing the right things, but he's doing the right things in the wrong way. You must be controlled by God the Holy Spirit to produce divine good assets. And those divine good assets show up in 1 Corinthians 3, at the judgment seat of Christ, and they're known to be gold, silver, and precious stones. And the assets that are human good, well, they're known to be wood, hay, and stubble. So I'm talking about a future judgment in the time and eternity when we, each Christian, will be evaluated on the basis of our production, not our sin, in 1 Corinthians 3. So Rebound is essential. When I know I've sinned, I rebound. I confess my sin as per 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all the wrongdoing, even the ones I don't remember. But it's critical that I must keep a very short account of sin in my life, whether it's a mental attitude sin, whether it's a sin of the tongue, or whether it's an overt sin. I must admit it to God and not hide it. In Psalm 32:4-5, the psalmist hid it, and he said he almost dried up and he died. But when he confessed his sin, then his life returned to him. See, God has set up a system of discipline for us. Hebrews 12:6-11 talks about how he disciplines those that he loves. When we sin, we don't name the sin, deal with the sin, then we submit ourselves to warning discipline, eventually intensive discipline, and maybe eventually, if not dealt with, going home discipline, dying discipline. They're all taught in the Bible. And so Rebound is critical if you're going to live the Christian life. You must learn to check yourself every day. Am I in fellowship or am I out of fellowship? How would you know? Is there any unconfessed sin in my life? Just simply ask the Holy Spirit to show you, is there stuff here, Father, that is wrong that I haven't dealt with? And if he shows you, then admit it. Tell him. Tell him exactly what it is. And he'll be faithful and just to forgive you. That's the first problem-solving device. When you do that, that allows the Holy Spirit to control you, and that's the second problem-solving device. See, you're either controlled by your old sin nature, or you're controlled by God the Holy Spirit. They're not both in control at the same time. So the Bible says the flesh wars against the Spirit, that's the old sin nature, and the Spirit wars against the flesh, that's the Holy Spirit. So at any one time in your life, you may feel like a nut and you may not. Whichever one is controlling you, that's the one you're under the influence of. And what the Bible says in Ephesians 5:18 is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is for you to be a spiritual Christian, not a carnal Christian, not a fleshly Christian, but a spiritual Christian. And a spiritual Christian is simply a Christian who is controlled by God the Holy Spirit. Now that is not a mature Christian. A mature Christian is a Christian that's controlled by God the Holy Spirit and has a maximum amount of resources in his soul, or the Word of God. As the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Or as the Bible says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Two mandates, study and grow. Two. And you cannot ever live the Christian life if you don't study and grow. We start out as baby Christians, and God wants us to become mature Christians so that we can replicate the life of Christ, so that we can represent Christ to our family, to our friends, to our neighbors. And the only way we can do that is to grow and to acquire the mind of Christ. How do you acquire the mind of Christ? Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Romans 12:3 says, stop thinking of yourself in terms of arrogance, but think in terms of humility, as God has assigned to each one of us the standard of thinking from his word. The New Testament is the mind of Christ. We have it. When we learn it and live by it, then we begin to replicate Christ. That's our job. Now, one of the essential doctrines that you must know, something that he used in Matthew 4, is the problem-solving device of called faith rest drill. The faith rest drill. Now, keep this in mind. Jesus Christ, our Lord, never needed to rebound because he never sinned. But he did have to operate under the filling of the Holy Spirit, just like you and me. Remember that he was the God-man, undiminished deity, true humanity in one body forever now. But as God, he never used his own powers to sustain himself. He did use his power to heal people, deliver people from the dead, but not to sustain himself. And you have the same power he had, God the Holy Spirit. Thus, you can utilize the Holy Spirit just like he did. And he knew his Father's word. He quoted it all the time. And you can use the word too to stay strong like he did. Remember this. We have been given the Spirit of God so that we may know the things God has provided for us freely. 1 Corinthians 2:12. So every problem we face, every one of them was known by God in eternity past. And he alone provided the solution for every problem that we have. That's why we say adversity is inevitable and stress is optional. But remember this as well, please. There's a word called protocol. It sounds like a fancy word, but it just simply means a right thing must be done in a right way. When we deal with God or address God, there is protocol. In the Old Testament, there was protocol. In the New Testament, there's protocol. It simply says a right thing must be done in a right way. That means that unless you are operating under the filling of the Holy Spirit, And unless you are establishing the principles for your life based on the scriptures, then you are not following protocol. So the protocol of faith rest is essential. It's critical. So let's get a few points on faith rest drill. Problem-solving device number 3. By the way, we have all these in a small booklet, and it's free of charge. If you'd like to have it, just write to us and ask for it. It's free. We'll send it to you. Never done you for any money or not ever send you anything else. Just give you those that little book on the 10 problem-solving devices if you want it. So here we go. 1. To crack the sound barrier requires excessive speed, but to crack the faith barrier requires you to stand absolutely still. In Exodus 14:13, the Bible says, "Stand still and watch what God is about to do." Those are the words of Moses to the Jews that exited out of Egypt, and the Pharaoh was chasing them and had them backed up against the Red Sea, and it looked like they were going to die. Stand still. Watch what God's about to do. So faith rest, number 1, says you stand still, standing on the promises of God. 2, there's no work and no movement involved, nothing at all. Just believe it and trust it and keep on believing and trusting and waiting on the Lord. And there is no problem you've ever had that God is not aware of. 1 Corinthians 10:13. He tells you this. And he tells you there's a way out of everything. So 3, if you trusted in Jesus Christ to save you, which I assume you've done. If not, I hope you will. I hope you will make the most important decision of your life to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. As the Bible says, to as many as believe in him, to them gave he right to become the sons of God. You enter the royal family of God by believing in Christ Jesus and receiving him as your Savior. And so if you trusted in Christ to save you, that is the biggest event in your life. So now, if you trusted in him, if you believe that he took your place on the cross, if you believe that, can you now trust him for the everyday needs, the everyday difficulties, the everyday problems that you will now face? Can you trust him to handle those things as well? 4, are there real answers for all the heartaches, for all the problems, for all the adversities, all the frustrations, all the difficulties? Are there real answers? And the answer is yes. Yes, there are. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have trials, tribulation, trouble. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." So, point 5, salvation, becoming a Christian, in other words, it not only means you're going to go to heaven, but that you now have the means to stabilize your thinking and to meet every problem and every difficulty with a complete relaxed mental attitude or tranquility. So, point 6, it's only when you're in a place of hopelessness and helplessness that you can see the extraordinary power and grace of God at work. You know, when there's no human solution, when you're numb from the shock or the pressure, and you can't even see how to pray or know how to pray, Romans 8:26 says that's when the Holy Spirit can intercede for you in prayer. So point 7, it's only in the desperate situation that you can avail yourself to God's perfect provisions and enter into God's perfect rest. The perfect rest is the faith rest drill, standing on the promises of God, using them as a shield to ward off the trials, the adversities, the trouble that Satan throws your way. You know, and it's not just Satan. 99% of the trouble that we face is self-induced. We cause it ourselves. We mismanage our money, we mismanage our health, we mismanage our relationships. So we have to learn how to deal with these problems that we create. or they overwhelm us with guilt. They overwhelm us with worry. They overwhelm us with doubt and fear. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Do not be afraid. I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I'm your God. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." And 1 Peter 5:7, "Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you." In Psalm 55:22, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved." In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding," that's human viewpoint, "in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." So God has a moment-by-moment promises and a rest for you. He puts us into places of testing to see if we will believe that, if we will trust him. So what is the strength in the Christian's life? It's God the Holy Spirit. It's God's Bible or God's Word. And it's you standing still and using those promises, using God's gracious provisions, standing firm behind the shield of faith. Ephesians 6 says, "Pick up the shield of faith in order that you may ward off the fiery darts of the wicked one." That's you mixing the promises of God with your faith. See, the most difficult stage for the Christian to achieve is being happy. Happiness, there is a problem-solving device called Plus H, sharing the happiness of God, and we'll talk about that as we get to it. But in this world, it's harder to be happy as a Christian than it is to be happy as an unbeliever. Because, number one, their happiness is temporary, and number two, they're not involved in the war that you and I are involved in. They don't have the two things going at war with inside them. They're already enslaved to the flesh. But you have a choice. God gave you a volition. And you can submit to your flesh, or you can submit to God the Holy Spirit. It's up to you. Listen to Hebrews 4:2. "The word they heard did not profit them, because it was not mixed with faith." The only way the word of God can profit you is you mix it with faith. See, when you hear the word of God, let's say you go to church and you hear your pastor teach a sermon. If you're in fellowship with God, which means you're not quenching or grieving the Holy Spirit, then he can take what that pastor teaches you and cause it to go into your mind so that you can comprehend what you heard. You understand what you heard. It does not do you any good at all if you don't take what you heard and apply it into your life. That's why Jesus said, again, I told you earlier, happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it. There's the application part. And so the promises of God can only profit you when you mix them with faith. And this involves two things. Number one, you got to know them. And number two, you got to believe them. And if you know them and you believe them, then as Hebrews 4:3 says, we have believed and do enter into rest. Rest. God wants you to take it easy. God wants you to have a relaxed mental attitude. It is not to your advantage to be worrying, to be afraid, to be full of guilt or fear or doubt. See, a lot of Christians spend their whole lives seeking that elusive thing they called happiness. It's funny, but they spend money they don't have to buy things they really don't need to impress people they don't even like. That's weird. Because we're all trying to find something that will give us some stimulation, some satisfaction, some peace and blessing to self. The problem is, the more we search for it under our own power, the more elusive it becomes, and the more we reject what God really provided for us. God has provided an incredible life for you. And if you learn the faith rest drill and you use it, there is no way the enemy can overtake you. Remember our Lord in Matthew 4 when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the tempter, which was a.k.a. the devil himself, how the Lord quoted Scripture, quoted Scripture, quoted Scripture. Same thing for you. We have to claim the promises of God by faith. Hebrews 3:19 says you cannot enter into God's rest with unbelief. Those promises in the Bible are designed to give you stability and strength. And they're designed to give you the ability to face any situation in your life. So, I mean, a person that's not a Christian, they can have some sort of relative fleeting happiness for the moment, and they depend on some person or something to make them happy. But for you, no, you don't have to have anybody, anything to have the happiness God provided. The perfect peace, the permanent happiness, it all comes in the place of rest called the faith rest drill. And it does not depend on people. It does not depend on circumstances. Every time there's a problem, every time there's a crisis, you must make a simple decision. This way or that way? His way or my way? How will you handle it? Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, and you will find rest for your souls." Learn is the key word there. Learn. If you learn God's problem-solving devices, especially the faith rest drill, you will learn how to take a promise, and there are over 7,000 of them in the Bible. You can extrapolate one of those promises out of the Bible, and you can pick that promise up like a shield, and you can stand behind it. And you can say, "God, you said this. I believe this. I'm standing firm in your word." And this takes the monkey off your back. This puts the monkey on God's back. Is he going to uphold his word, or will he abandon you? And obviously, you know he will uphold his word. You see, one of the paradoxes in life is that we often have to become completely miserable before we learn to be completely happy. That's why God takes out all the crutches, so that we will learn to lean on him and no one else. Nothing else. So when you hit a problem, you claim a promise from the Word of God. You go to God's Word and you settle in on one promise, and you lock in on that promise, and you believe that promise. And then, if you don't use that promise, you get gnosis. That's in the Bible. If you want to know what God thinks, learn the Bible. And where are you supposed to learn the Bible? Well, you say, "Well, I can just read it and go sit under the oak tree in the backyard and I'll figure it all out." No, you won't. God gave men the gift of pastor-teacher. Their job is to teach it to you. You wouldn't take a medical book and try to heal your own self. You go to the doctor. And the same thing is true with the Scriptures. Pray. Ask God to show you that man where you can learn his word faithfully. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, I'm going to ask you to stay tuned. It'll be 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a lot of education, and we do it without any manipulation. That's right. No games, no gimmicks. We are not trying to sell you anything. This show, and it's a rather new show in your area, is designed for one thing: to give you insight into God's plan for your life. Hopefully to help you orient and adjust to the plan. If I can make that plan understandable, not by giving any useless human speculation, but by giving accurate information, then you can make the choice. This show is designed to do that. We're not designed to promote anything or sell anything, but to give you that accurate information. I'm looking for those of you out there that are hungry, those of you who want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's amazing how many people that I meet in my travels that have been involved in organized religion for a long time but never learned very much. So if you talk to them about the Christian life, they may say something like, well, if I ask them, how do I become a good Christian? They may say, well, just turn it over to the Lord, brother. Okay, turn it over to the Lord. What exactly does that mean? And they may say, well, just let God have it, or let God and let go. There are all these little cliches, and no one really knows what they mean. I remember a long time ago when I first entered the ministry back in the 70s. I was speaking in a small church, small Baptist church, down in Columbus, Mississippi. And like many young evangelists, I gave different invitations, and this one was to rededicate your life to Christ night. You know, rededicate your life to Christ. So we had some people come forward, and this one man said, I want to rededicate my life to Christ. And I said, well, that's great. Thank you for coming. And he looked at me, and he said, how do I do it? And I said, how do you do what? He said, how do I rededicate my life to Christ? I said, well, you know, you came forward, so you're rededicating, you know, 1, 2, 3, rededicate me. He said, I've tried it before, it didn't work. And you know what I was shocked to discover? That I knew all the cliches, but I didn't know the mechanics. I knew the cliches, but I didn't know the mechanics. I didn't know what to tell him. I didn't understand how 1, 2, 3, this is how you do it. Step 1, step 2, step 3. And it wasn't until I got under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor that I began to understand the mechanics of the Christian life. That's what this show does. This show is designed to teach you mechanics. It's kind of like a football team. You know, you have a favorite football team where you live. And the player may come in there with all kind of raw talent. He may be big, he may be fast, he may be attractive. But if he doesn't learn the mechanics of what to do on offense or the mechanics of what to do on defense, he's just going to sit on the bench. He's not going to be able to get into the game because the coach cannot trust him. He wouldn't know what to do on certain schemes, certain plays. And you see, that's what happens with a lot of Christians. They're sitting on the bench. They're just sitting there. They're going to heaven. They're going to have eternal life. But in, to use a sports analogy, they're not going to letter. They're not going to get a letter because God can't put them in the game. They don't know what to do. All they know is a few cliches, few key cliches. You know, like, pray about it, brother. Well, what does that mean? Pray about it. First of all, how do you pray? Somebody, I hear him say all the time, I've been praying about it. Well, great. I'm glad you're praying about it. But how do you know your prayers are not going any higher than the ceiling? You see, there's a right way to pray and a wrong way to pray. And the mechanics involve protocol. And any Christian must understand this. When you're dealing with God, there is protocol. A right thing must be done in a right way. When you're dealing with God, there's protocol. A right thing must be done in a right way. I said it twice now. That means there's a right way to pray. There's a right way to grow. There's a right way to give. There's a right way to serve. You can do all these things that which are right, honorable things, but you can do them in the wrong way. And if you're doing the right things and yet you're doing them in the wrong way, they're still wrong. And so this show is designed to show you how to do a right thing in a right way. That's why we have these 10 unique problem-solving devices. And the first one that I've tried to teach you, if you've listened to the show over any period of time, is the rebound technique. Rebound is the compilation of 1 John 1:9 that says, if we confess our sin, then He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. So simply said, you cannot serve God with sin in your life. Do we all sin? Yes. The Bible says in 1 John, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But can we be cleansed from our sin? And the answer is yes. Exactly. Yes, we can. David was cleansed from his sin in Psalm 52, 3 and 4, Psalm 56. He confessed his sin to God after Nathan confronted him. And you and I, when we sin, as Paul said in Romans 7:15, I don't understand myself at all. Read it. Look at it. He said, I want to do what's right, but I inevitably do what's wrong. And he said, I know what it is. It's sin inside of me. You and I have a propensity to sin because we have a sinful nature. We got it from Adam. And that's why the Bible says a Christian has a war. There's a war going on within each one of us, and it's the desire for the flesh to control our life and the desire for the Holy Spirit to control your life. Now, the Bible tells you straight up, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Bible mandates you in Ephesians 5:18 to be filled with the Spirit. And that's what rebound does. When you go to God and you cite your sin, when you name your sin to God, then you are filled with the Spirit. When you sin, you quench the Spirit. You grieve the Spirit. And, for example, if you decide to pray and you know you have sin in your life, that prayer is not going to be answered till you confess the sin. How do I know that? Because the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. There you go. How much plainer could it be than that? And some people say, well, I can't remember every sin that I do. Well, listen again. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. All of them. Everything. Even the ones you don't remember. So the secret to living the protocol plan of God starts with you understanding how to rebound and rebound quickly. When you know you've sinned, when you know you have used your volition, your chooser, your decider, when you know that you chose to do something that was against the will of God, you go to God and you admit that sin to God quickly. And God said He will be faithful and just to forgive you. Sometimes He will even discipline us, as per Hebrews chapter 12. And we've talked about that before on the show, too. Those whom I love, I chasten. God does that. But unless you rebound, unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's problem-solving device number two, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Rebound is problem-solving device number one. But problem-solving device number two, the filling of the Holy Spirit, is how you live the Christian life. See, this is exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ did. He was a man, but He was God. So He was a God-man. But as man, He did not use His deity to sustain His humanity. He depended upon the Holy Spirit. And He passed the Holy Spirit on to each one of us. So the minute we believe in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, and our body becomes the temple of God. Did you think about that? And so you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and He is your power. He is your tutor. He is your mentor. And it's Him that will lead you, guide you, protect you. But He cannot do it with unconfessed sin in your life. But I'm going to tell you what else the Holy Spirit needs. Jesus said when he comes, he will lead you into all truth. And thus we have truth in the Bible, in the Word of God, in the canon of Scripture. And so the fourth problem-solving device that I want to discuss with you, we have rebound, we have the filling of the Holy Spirit, we have the faith rest drill, we talked about that last week, and we want to talk today about biblical orientation. There are two things that go together, grace orientation and biblical orientation. Well, what about biblical orientation? What do I mean by that? In 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible uses a verb, and the verb is spoudazo in the Greek New Testament. It's the English word study. Study. Every verb has an action. You learned that in school. And this verb is the imperative mood verb of spoudazo. The imperative mood in the Greek New Testament simply means this is not a request. It is a command. This is a command from God to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the first question we have to ask you is, are you a faithful student of the word of God? Do you study the Bible? Because this verse says, study to show thyself approved unto God. The aorist tense verb here is the culminative aorist of this verb. This means there never is a time that a Christian is not to be studying. The active voice says the subject produces the action of the verb. And so this is an aorist active imperative of spoudazo. All that is important in understanding the nuance of the Greek New Testament. You are being mandated by God to consistently study His Word. This is how you grow. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. Rightly dividing. Let's go back to the Greek New Testament again. Rightly dividing is an interesting word. Orthotomeo is the Greek word. Orthotomeo. You say, why do you give me these Greek words? Because it was written in Greek. I'm going back to the original language in which it was written to try to determine the meaning of this word. Orthotomeo means to cut straight. We get an English word from this today, and it has to do with going to the orthodontist to make your teeth straight. And rightly dividing means to teach Scripture accurately, to understand Scripture. Dividing is a division. You know, add, subtract, multiply, divide. Dividing is a division. Here's something we all have to understand. Bible study causes division. You hear me? Wrong reasons, wrong ways. Some teach the wrong thing with hidden agendas. Some people try to build a clique. Some teach from just ignorance, not knowing what's there, not knowing the language. And some claim to have extra biblical revelation, like God appeared to them in a burning bush one night and told them to say this. And if it's not in the Bible, it didn't come from God. I assure you of that. Everything that God wants you to know is in the Word of God, the Bible, the canon of Scripture. It says in there, it's alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. And it also says, cursed is any man that adds to or takes away from the contents of this book. There it is. So if God told us to be careful to get it straight, then He must have known there would be a possibility that somebody could mess it up. And mess it up, they have done. Organized religion has substituted ritual for reality. A lot of what is said is not said. A lot of what is meant is changed or reversed. And so God wants you to get it right. This is something you have to remember. Point one, God is not the author of confusion. He is not. 1 Corinthians 14:33. God is not the author of confusion. The Greek word for confusion means the instability or the state of disorder or disturbance or confusion. He's not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saint. So if you're having a Bible study, and one person says, this means this, and another person says, no, that means that, and all of a sudden you got four or five different opinions. First of all, the only opinion that counts is the opinion of the qualified pastor who knows the languages. He's the one who's supposed to know what he's talking about. He's the one that's supposed to understand it. That's why you hired him. That's why God gave him a gift of poimen kai didaskalos in the Greek New Testament, which we would pronounce pastor and teacher. And I assure you, there are some well-qualified pastor teachers in your community. Most of the time, people aren't interested in that. They're interested in tradition. They're interested in many things, but not in learning God's Word, because that well-qualified pastor might not be sensational. He might not have the biggest church. He might not have the biggest choir. Matter of fact, there may be no choir. But he may accurately teach you God's Word. And if you are willing to learn, if you want to learn it, if you want to grow, if you don't want to be confused, you better ask God to show you where that man is. God will answer that prayer. God will lead you to where there is a well-qualified pastor that can teach you the Bible, the Word of God. We don't need to be entertained. We don't need to have ritual without reality. We need to learn something. Why? So, what does the verse say? We can be approved by God. We want to hear God say, well done, my good and faithful servant. He will not say that to you if you do all the right things in the wrong way. As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 3 talks about the judgment seat of Christ, and it shows how all those right things done in the wrong way amount to wood, hay, and stubble. And they're all burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. They did not glorify God, and you're not rewarded for those things. You just did the right thing, but you did it in the wrong way. And here's an example. If you want an example, you decide that you want to give some money. And is giving money sinful? No. Is it the right thing to do? Yes, you should support your church, support your missionaries. But if you have known sin in your life when you give it, in other words, let's say that on the way to church on Sunday morning, you and your wife got in a big fight, or you and your kids got in a big fight. And so you got mad, you got angry, you said things you didn't want to say. And now you get to church, and now the offering plate is passed, and you put some money in there. Right thing, wrong way. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was quenched and grieved the minute you sinned, and you did not rebound. You did not confess that sin. So when that money went into that offering plate, you did a right thing in the wrong way. You did it from the energy of the flesh. You did something any unbeliever could do. Even a person that's not a Christian can give money to churches and charities. If you don't do it all under the power of the Holy Spirit, under the filling of the Holy Spirit, then everything you do winds up being a right thing in the wrong way. You must understand that, and that's why it's critical that we learn God's Word. God is not the author of confusion. Number two, the Bible does not contradict itself. And number three, God is never unfair, nor does God get emotional. We may get emotional, but God does not get emotional. And so if you think that by doing something nice, God's going to get turned on, and you're going to get God happy, because you got clappy. God doesn't operate on emotion. You have it. Yes, it's part of your makeup of your soul. Emotions are there. But God doesn't function on emotions. God functions on truth. He is the essence of truth. God is love, we know that, and we know that He's righteous, and we know that He's just, and we know that the justice of God is the guardian of the righteousness of God. So we know that whatever the righteousness of God rejects, then the justice of God will judge. That doesn't mean He doesn't love you, but that means that He requires strict adherence to protocol. If you don't believe that, go look in the Old Testament, the building of the temple. Look at how things went on in the temple. Had to be done a right thing, had to be done in a right way. And it hasn't changed today. You're the temple today. There's not a tabernacle in the wilderness. It's in you. And a right thing still has to be.